Genesis 4:2a. And again she bare his brother Abel. It cannot be known for a certainty whether Cain and Abel were twins or not, although it is very probable indeed that they were twins. But be that as it may, it is certain that our first parents had various thoughts concerning these two sons, and that they imagined that their redemption was at the door. Cain was doubtless held in the highest honor, and made the object of their chief delight, while Abel, on the other hand, was not an object of so much pleasure, nor of so much hope, as the names themselves of the two sons show. Cain was so called, as we have said, because they considered that it was he who should acquire or restore all things. On the contrary, Abel signifies vanity, or that which is nothing, or of no value, or abject. Some interpreters have rendered the name in our Bible mourning or sorrow, but that is not the Hebrew term for sorrow. Moreover, the expression is of very frequent use in the sacred scriptures. How often is it repeated in Ecclesiastes, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity," Ecclesiastes 1:2, and also in the Psalm, "Therefore their days did he consume in vanity," Psalm 78, verse 33. That is, they attained not the promised land of Canaan. Abel, therefore, was so called as being considered one concerning whom there was no hope, or one respecting whom all hope was vain. But Cain was so named as one of whom all things were hoped. These very names given to these two sons therefore plainly manifest the thoughts and feelings of the parents concerning them, that, as the promise was made concerning the seed of the woman, Adam and Eve thought that the divine promise thus made was to be fulfilled through Cain, their first son, but that Abel would effect nothing, seeing that everything was to be successfully accomplished, as they thought, through Cain. Therefore they called him Abel. And this hope which Adam and Eve entertained concerning Cain was undoubtedly the reason why these two brothers were not brought up with the same care and concern. For to Abel was committed the charge of the cattle, but Cain was trained in the pursuits of his father, and to the cultivation of the earth, as being the superior and nobler employment. Abel was a shepherd. Cain was a king and a priest, being the firstborn and destined by his birth to fulfill those high hopes and expectations of the recovery of all his parents entertained concerning him. But here ponder the wonderful counsel of God. From the beginning of the world, primogeniture has always held a very high privilege, not only among the people of God, with whom the right attached to primogeniture was an institution of God himself, and by him highly commended, but among the Gentile nations also. And yet facts and experiences prove, especially among the holy people, that the firstborn have often disappointed the hopes of their parents, and the afterborn have often attained to the condition and dignity of the firstborn. Thus, were not our first parents miserably deceived in their hopes concerning their firstborn, Cain, the murderer? So also Abraham, the exalted, was not the firstborn, but Haran. So, again, Esau was the firstborn, but he had to yield his birthright and its blessing to Jacob. Again, David was the youngest of all his brethren, and yet he was anointed king. And the same wonderful counsel of God may be seen in many other instances in the Scriptures. For although the firstborn had, by divine right, the prerogatives of the kingship and the priesthood, yet they frequently lost them, and the afterborn were appointed to them in their stead. And whence, in most instances, arose this perversion of things? Both from the fault of the parents and from the pride of the firstborn themselves. The parents gave to their firstborn greater liberty and indulgence, and then the firstborn themselves, thus corrupted by the indulgence of their parents, despised and oppressed, through this pride in their birthright, the rest of their brethren. But God is the God of the humble. He giveth grace to the humble and resisteth the proud. Those firstborn, therefore, who exalt themselves in pride, God puts down from their right and their seat, not because such do not inherit the right of their primogeniture, but because they grow proud of their gifts and privileges, and carry themselves with insolence and oppression, and such God cannot endure. Thus, when the angels, who had been endowed with gifts the most noble and the most bright above all other beings, began to grow proud in heaven and to despise the humility of the Son of God, they were cast down into hell and became the most hideous devils. For God cannot endure pride, and he will have his majesty preserved and held inviolate everywhere, as the prophet says, "And my glory will I not give to another," Isaiah 42:8 and 48:11. Thus also the people of Israel were God's peculiar people, and the holy city of Jerusalem was the habitation of God. But when they cast off the fear of God and grew proud, through a confidence in their high gifts and privileges, the whole people was cut off, and their city laid waste by the Gentile nations. And this indeed is the common pestilence of our nature. We rest not content with the gifts which God has bestowed upon us, but abuse them through pride and insult our bountiful Creator and Giver. God, for example, bestows empires, kingdoms, peace, and other large blessings, that kings and princes might acknowledge him, worship him, and give him thanks. But kings and princes so abuse these great gifts and favors, as if they were bestowed upon them, for the very end that they might insult and trample underfoot their Creator, who has been to them so bountiful a giver. The very same evil of pride also is found in private and domestic life. God gives sound health, wife, children, and personal property. Not that through these things we should offend him, but that in all such things we might acknowledge his mercy and render him continual thanks. And for this same end also, that we might always give him thanks, he has bestowed upon us the use of and the dominion over all his creatures. But how few are there who render unto God the thanks which are due thus to him? Do not almost all of us live in the continual and most shameful abuse of the gifts of God? God, therefore, is compelled to use, in our case, the same remedy which the Roman emperor Vespasian adopted. He used to suffer his citizens to grow rich, for he was accustomed to say that such rich ones were like a sponge, which, when filled with water, if well squeezed, will give back the water in abundance. So God has enriched certain ones with his bountiful gifts. If they grow ungrateful and abuse the bounty of their God, he squeezes them until they are empty again, as the Blessed Virgin says, "And the rich he hath sent empty away." It was for this reason that God did not spare the firstborn Cain. He did not give the first birthright to Cain, that he might grow proud of it and despise his God, but that he might adorn it and reverence and fear his God, and when he did not this, God cast him off. And in this manner the sin belonged even to the parents also. They fostered this pride in their firstborn, as the names they gave their two sons plainly prove. For Adam and Eve placed all their hope in their firstborn only. They called him their treasure, as his name indicates. But Abel they looked upon as nothing, and considered that he could do nothing, while they adorned Cain as a king and held him to be the blessed seed. From him, therefore, they promised to themselves great things, and of him they speak great things, and he, on his part, became filled with pride. But Abel they despised all the time as a man of naught. God, however, in due time reverses all things. He casts away Cain and makes Abel an angel and the first of all the saints. For Abel, when murdered by his brother, was the first who was delivered from his sin and from all the calamities of this world, and he shines throughout the whole church to the end of the world as a distinguished star, through the illustrious testimony of righteousness, which the whole Scriptures bear to his honor. In this manner, therefore, was Abel, whom Adam, Eve, and Cain despised as a man of naught, made in the sight of God a Lord of heaven and earth. For after death Abel is placed in a higher state and condition than if he possessed 1,000 earthly worlds with all their riches. Such is the end of pride and presumption against God. Cain trusted in his birthright and despised his brother in comparison with himself. and believed not the promise concerning Christ. Abel, on the other hand, took fast hold by faith of the promise made unto Adam concerning the seed of the woman. And this faith was also the reason he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, as the Epistle to the Hebrews expresses it, Hebrews 11:4.